Well, good morning, Redeemer Bible Church. I feel like home. I really do. It's like coming home. I'm visiting a lot of churches, but this church is like home. And I would like to thank you on behalf of my whole family and ministry for all the things you do for us, for the prayers, for the encouragement, for the support, that you always make us feel home. And I'd like to thank you for that. Thank you. Well, we are not here on each service. You notice that. And when we are not in Texas, we miss many things. Let me tell you a couple of things we miss, okay? We miss our friends. We miss the Tex-Mex food, okay? I'll miss it. And we miss the Blue Bonnets. But there is one more thing I personally miss, and you would never guess what that is. When I sit in the car, I turn to a classic country station because I miss country music, okay? To give you a specific, this is Village, no, let me just try to say it. Village Roadhouse, that's the, and I listen to country music. And you know, that's the kind of music. In the first stanza, the cowboy loses his pickup truck. In the second stanza, he loses his house. That's bad. In the third, he loses his wife. And in the fourth one, he goes to prison. But if you play it backwards, that's all good, right? Get back the wife, get back the house. Get back everything and finally a brand new pickup truck. Now we all have, you and I, we all have our favorite songs. Personally, one thing I love about Redeemer is worshiping God with old hymns. This is just moving my heart every time I come in. So we all have our favorite songs, songs of worship, songs that help us to enjoy and love God more, songs that carry us through the day. And we have songs to sing to God, songs of joy, songs of sorrow, songs of thanksgiving. And you know, God loves it when you sing to Him. He just loves it. When you sing to Him in the shower and your wife may not like it, God loves it. When you're just humming through the day in your car, God loves it. God loves songs. And this morning He's talking to us in a song. But you know, there are some times when you just don't want to sing to God. There is sometimes you just don't want to sing to God. When I hurt somebody with my words, I do not want to sing to God. When I have anger in my heart, I do not want to sing to God. I just want to be silent. Just go someplace else. When I get upset because of the politics, when I lie, when I'm a hypocrite, when I sit in my car and that guy just cuts in front of me, I do not want to sing to God. And you know, the times when you and I will sin are not the times we want to sing a song to God. When I sin, I do not want to sing to Him. When you sin, you just want to be silent. You do not want to sing to Him. You know, the times when I make God sad, they seem not to be the times of joyful melodies. The times when I feel shameful, I do not want to shout to the Lord. And yet, God wants you and I to sing to Him even in these times. And that's what Psalm 32 is all about. That's what Psalm 32 is all about. But you ask, now what kind of song should I sing to God? What can I sing to Him, to my Maker, when I feel so terrible about what I just thought or said or did? I really messed up this relationship, this thing. How could I sing to Him? I feel terrible. I cheated. I just looked at something very improper on that monitor. How could I sing a God? How could I sing a song to God? I just hurt somebody. How could I sing a song? I want to hide. I'm so wicked. I feel like in prison, in the prison of my own sins. How could I sing to my Maker? But you know, in these times, God wants you to sing a very special song. When you sin, when you feel so bad, when your heart is full of shame, when others are hurting around you, God wants you to sing a song. And that is our song for today. And that is the song of the pardoned prisoner. That's Psalm 32, the song of the pardoned prisoner. David was the author of this psalm. And trust me, he knew about sin. Just think about his life. Now, many people just kind of glide over the fact that David was polygamous, but that was not the will of God. God's will has always been one man, one woman, one marriage. But if you think about David, that was one guy and many, many wives. That did not please God. And that caused his trouble, if you recall. David and Bathsheba. And then the result is lying. And then the result is killing Uriah. And then the result, trouble in the family. David did know about sin. He did know about the sin, and he did know about consequences. He did know about the consequences of not raising his sons in the fear of the Lord. He did know about sin. This song is coming from his heart. He lived through the moments of disgrace. He lived through ups and downs, and David knows about what he's talking about. Yet he's singing the song of the pardoned prisoner from 3 millennia ago, and he is telling us, sing the song of the pardoned prisoner. Sing the song of the pardoned prisoner. And this song has four parts. Let me just tell you, four parts. Now, in the first part, that's verses 1 and 2, David is singing with joy, the song of the pardoned prisoner. And in the second part, when David is talking to God, David is singing a song of sorrow. That's verses 3 to 7. And there is a very short song in the middle of it, verse 8. And God is singing. God is singing to David. And then the rest of the psalm, verses 9 and on, David once again is singing to the believers. So this song has four parts. And let's just walk through these four parts. And I really hope as we walk through these parts, at the end of it, you and I, we will be able to sing the song of the pardoned prisoner, which is not a country song, but a song that you and I should sing every day with rejoicing and thankfulness. So let's turn to Psalm 32. Let's go through the text of this beautiful psalm. If you look at the first part of the psalm, this is how it reads. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Isn't that joyful? I remember the first time I could sing this song. See, I became a Christian in 1988. That was still communism, but Campus Crusade was operating undercover, and I became a Christian. And after that, for 2 years, I wasn't sure of my salvation. I was not sure if all my sins were forgiven. But then in 1990, we went to this Bible camp, and the speaker was teaching about the book of Romans, and he explained us that because of what Christ did, all my sins are forgiven. I will never forget. August 20, 1990, I'm kneeling next to my bed and I'm crying. And I'm saying, Lord, you paid all my sins, all the things I did. I don't deserve that. I'd like to live for you. That was the first time I sang the song of the pardoned prisoner. I can't tell you how. I was uplifted, I was free, I was joyful. It was a new chapter, a new beginning. I started singing the song of the pardoned prisoner. Yet I cannot sing it every day. Just a couple of months ago, a young friend of mine sat through a sermon I preached in a certain church. This guy is in his 30s. He's only using the old version of the Hungarian Bible. Never went to Bible school. A relatively young Christian. And I was preaching on some doctrine. And after that message, he comes to me and says, you were wrong. Oh, I was wrong. And I'm going to show you why you are wrong. I said, wait. So we set a time. He comes to my house, and we start talking. And blatantly just says, you are wrong. You are a false teacher. Honest, I'll be honest with you. I was not Mr. Missionary at the moment. you know what I did? I kicked him out of my house. Now, that's not the end of the story. Immediately after I did, Psalm 32, verse 3, came into being. My bones wasted away. God's hand was heavy upon me. You know how I felt? You do? I felt awful. I felt like a wreck. I felt like a worthless, nothing sinner. I had the worst night of my life. I was right. He was wrong in his doctrine, but how I treated him, that was wrong. I felt so bad. I can't tell you how bad I felt. So, I started singing. Guess what I was singing? The song of the pardoned prisoner. God forgive me. How could I be so immature? And I apologized to the guy, and he accepted it. And we are friends again. And guess how I felt? Happy. And guess what I sang? The song of the pardoned prisoner. Now, before you say, well, yeah, you Hungarians are such and such. Well, let me just ask you a couple of questions, okay? How did you come to church? Has it ever happened to you? This is just in a hypothetical different country. Has it ever happened to you that you were impatiently waiting for your spouse in your vehicle? Anyone? Okay. Even honking, and you have anger in your heart. How can he or she be late all the time? How did you come to church? Nurturing lies in your heart, sin deep inside that nobody sees, but God does. And your feelings are in verse 3. Did you come to church like that? Feeling God's hand upon you? We just heard about the unconditional, beautiful, sacrificial, active love last Sunday. Did you come with that kind of love in your heart? Or did you come with the thought, I hope I don't have to talk to that guy because I don't really like him? How did you come to church? Did you come with a free, loving spirit, ready to sing the song of the pardoned prisoner? Or did you bring your burdens? We're all humans. We all sin, you and I. That's no difference. But do we have the courage? Do we have the stamina to say, Lord, I want to leave this backpack right here. That does not belong to the temple of your Holy Spirit. That was nailed on the cross. I want to sing the song of the pardoned prisoner. God wants you to sing it. And if you cannot sing it, then sing this next section, the song of sorrow. Pardon prisoners, and that's all you are. You are pardoned prisoners because Christ died for you on the cross. And he rose from the grave. Pardon prisoners. If you have your backpack, and I don't see your hearts, but I suppose many of you do. You did come this morning with a big backpack of sin, bad thoughts, words, memories, wrong decisions. You came to church to find relief. Pardon prisoners. If that's the case, sing the song of sorrow. Sing the song of sorrow to God, just as David did. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Is that how you feel? Often that is how I feel. But there is hope. I acknowledge my sin to you. I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. And that's what all it takes. That's what all it takes. Doesn't seem to be a much, yet it is a lot. If there is conviction in your heart that is coming from the Holy Spirit, if right now you feel, yes, that word, that action, that decision, that relationship is not pleasing the Lord, that conviction is from God. And that conviction is there this morning so that you just leave it right here on the cross. And you just do just what David did. I confessed my sins. And you forgave the iniquity. Because forgiveness is right there. Sing with David. And acknowledge your sin. Do not hide it. Do not minimize it. He knows about it. And he still loves you. Pardon prisoners. Sing to God about the sorrow for sin. Please do it here and now. And God, for his son, the son of David, will forgive you. And you know what? We're going to stop here for a second. I usually don't do it when I'm preaching, but let's stop for a second. Examine your heart. Is there anything you need to leave here today? Lies. Coveting. Dirty thoughts. Dirty words. Hidden sins. Anything that causes you to feel the heavy hand of God on your life. Boy, you are quiet. There is. But there is good news. It's nailed on the cross. It is nailed on that cross. It is nailed on that cross. You sing the song of sorrow. And a man of sorrow, Jesus Christ, takes it up on the cross. It remains there. Never get it back. It's forgiven. It is forgiven. And listen how David continues his song from verse 6. He says, therefore let, and he's still talking to God, therefore let everyone who is godly offer prayers to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. This is not the only time. You can do it every day. Yes, it happens to you that it is not the inner man, but it's the flesh who is acting. Yes, you have those words. I do too. Yes, you have that attitude. I do too. And the actions. I do too. But David is telling you right here, do it every day. Do not hesitate to ask for forgiveness. And if you hurt someone, do not hesitate to humble yourself. God is blessing it. I told you about this young guy I offended. I went to him. I asked for forgiveness, and he forgave me. And it was not just forgiveness. It was the renewal of a friendship. Why is it possible? Because of Christ. Because of Christ. Because of Christ. Sing the song of the pardoned prisoner. But if you cannot do it with joy, then sing the song of sorrow. Accept his forgiveness. How many times? 7 times, actually. 77 times per day. All the time. And be at the hiding place. Be where you belong. Be where you belong. Do not hesitate to pray for him in the time of need. And when you do that, when you are at this hiding place, as our text says, then do you hear that melody? Can you hear that? Listen to verse 8. God is singing to you. And he says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. You start singing a song and you say, God, I'm a pardoned prisoner. Forgive me. Thank you that you forgave me. Thank you that I can be with you. You protect me. You surround me. And then you start listening to this melody. And God starts talking to you. God starts talking to you. And he says he will instruct you. How wonderful is that? He will teach you how you should live. You know, I'm full of sinful thoughts, sinful actions. I have decisions, relationships I'm not proud. I just asked for your forgiveness, Lord. And you took me back. And you start teaching me immediately. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? But that's how loving our Father is. He wants to instruct me. He wants to teach me how to respond wisely when I am right. He wants to teach me how to make decisions. He doesn't want me to be in the prison of my own sin. He wants me to be free and enjoy fellowship with him. You know, in many ways, it's like my children. Now, let me tell you about the story of my children. Parents, grandparents, listen. Guess what? The missionaries' children are not perfect. Did you know that? They're not. Oh, far from perfect. For example, these wonderful super missionary children, sometimes they have disagreements. And since they are that close in age, only 3.5 years apart, sometimes these disagreements can be quite heated, okay? You never know who is on whose side. Sometimes 2 against 1, sometimes everybody against everybody. You just never know. But sometimes these disagreements lead to yelling, occasionally even to physical action. And that's when mom and dad have to intervene. Sometimes I feel like the police officer and the accuser and the judge and all the legal system just to try to serve justice in the family. Usually what happens is this. I'll tell them this. Son or daughter, you either apologize or you go back to your room to think it through. You either apologize or you go back to your room. Guess what they do? They go to the room, okay? Now, there is one good weapon, and that is called hunger, okay? So I know they will come out because they will get hungry. That's how it goes. I know they're not going to spend 2 days in the rooms because they are getting teenagers. They will get out for sure. Okay, that's something good. But when they come out and they thought it through, they say, Mama, Papa, please forgive me. I just realized what I did. Now, what happens to us when we sin is exactly the same. God wants you and I to be in close, loving fellowship with him. And I sin. And I just decide, no, I'm going to go to my room. I feel much better hungry and alone, okay? That's what I want to do. And you are hungry and alone, and you feel awful. And Mama and Papa, your Heavenly Father is waiting for you. And finally, when my children come out, and they come down, usually like that. They say, I'm sorry. It's not like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What follows is, I love you, honey. I'm proud of you. Thank you for apologizing. You know, I would never think that, okay, finally, this was the last wrongdoing of my children. Never again. My son is 9 years old. He did one bad thing, no more, right? Wish. My girls are just getting teenagers, and from this point on, everything's going to be fine, right? No. And that's exactly how the Heavenly Father looks at you. This child of mine, he just sinned, but he confessed it no more. Great. No. But he's waiting for you. He's waiting for you with arms wide open because he loves you so much. He wants to be in fellowship with you, just like I want to be in fellowship with my little children. He wants to nourish you, just like I want to feed them. He wants to talk to you. He wants to listen to you. I love listening to the little stories of my children. Sometimes they don't make any sense, but I just love it. And I love giving them advice if they ask for. I love when they share about their difficulties. I love when they are where they belong. And that's precisely how God thinks about you. And that's why I want you to sing the song of the pardoned prisoner. Because that's where we belong. Lord, I worship you that you forgave my sins. Lord, I worship you that you made me free. Lord, I worship you because you sing to me. And you counsel me, and you teach me, and you instruct me, and you want me where I belong. That's with you. Isn't that song beautiful? David is talking to you. Sing the song of the pardoned prisoner. But if you cannot sing it, sing the song of sorrow. And once you did it, he forgives you and puts you where you belong. And thirdly, he sings to you, I will teach you and I will instruct you. And there is only one more thing left. If you experienced all these wonderful things, as you experienced all these wonderful things, then here's your task. Just as David did, teach the song of the pardoned prisoner. Please look at the last section of this psalm, starting with verse 9. Be not like a horse or mule without understanding, David starts. And now he's starting to God's people. David basically says this, people, learn from my example. Look what I did. I just went through this process of feeling awful, feeling the heavy hand of God upon me. I just experienced how bad it is to be locked up in the prison of sin. Do not follow my example. Do not be like a horse. Do not be like a mule. Do not be like an animal without any moral sense. Stay with God. Stay with God. He's not going to force you to do that. He's not going to put a bit and a brittle on your head. But don't you see, that's the best place for you. Stay with God. David is teaching them the song of the pardoned prisoner. You are forgiven. Stay with God. Stay where you belong. And he will teach you and instruct you and provide for you and protect you. And shows interest for you. And you could go on and on and on and on and on. The people that need to hear the song of the pardoned prisoner are all over you. They live in this big city of Dallas. Hopeless people minding their own business, trying to find satisfaction in money, in relationships, in pleasure, trying to find happiness in things where there is no happiness. And you have a song that you can teach them, the song of the pardoned prisoner. You can teach them, you can tell them that there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. In a short 2 weeks, I will be standing in front of a very different audience, okay? So I'm not going to be in my Sunday suit. I will probably be in a Japanese kimono or something like that. And the room is not going to be this quiet. Yeah. And there's going to be a whole bunch of 10 to 14-year-old children. I mean, they don't like it. Teens, okay? Teens, yeah, that's what they like. And they will listen to me. I would say about half of them will come from homes when there is not even a single Bible, secular homes. Another half will come from homes when they go to church on and off. One thing common, they will come from schools and environments when there is tremendous peer pressure so that they would comply. They would talk, act, think, behave like the rest, which is very ungodly, very wicked, if you allow. So there's going to be a whole bunch of children sitting in front of me. Some of them unbelievers. Some of them never heard this song before. Some of them never even knew about forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And some of them will be sitting there thinking, oh boy, I belong to Christ, but I just made so many bad decisions. I said things I'm ashamed of. I did things I'm ashamed of. I had or have relationships, and don't miss it, some of these preteens are very active in relationships. I have relationships I'm ashamed of, and God must hate me. They think that they had their chance, but they missed it, and game is over. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sing the song of the pardoned prisoner. I'm going to tell them that there is forgiveness in Christ every day. There is a new beginning every day. That God wants them to be where they belong, in the hiding place, where He can teach them and instruct them and guide them and counsel them. And the Word of God will give them hope. I just cannot wait. But let's come back to Dallas. Guess what? There is people like that in Dallas. Did you know that? Who think that, boy, I had my chance with God. I messed it up. Game is over. Who's going to sing them the song of the pardoned prisoner? The Hungarian missionary? You say yes? No, he's not. You, friends. You. The mailman. And the grocery store clerk. And your next door neighbor who just moved in. And he or she is a single parent. And the parent of your child's classmate. Or that strange relative. And I could go on and on and on about all the people that live next to you, that you see day by day, and they need to hear the song, that God loves them, and God wants to forgive them the first time, or the second time, or the 77th time, and you have to sing that song to them. You have to teach them that song, because God loves them, and wants to instruct them, and teach them. He wants you to be a singer. Sing the song of the pardoned prisoner. Let's pray. Lord, I come to you as I am. I want to sing to you, but there is something in my heart, in my life, that should not be there. Pride, anger, impatience, lack of love to my fellow brothers, hidden secret sins, lust, envy. You know me, Lord. I cannot hide anything from you. Thank you for convicting me through your Holy Spirit. I confess you my sins here and now. Thank you that Jesus paid for them all. And thank you that in His resurrection there is new life for me. Thank you for your complete forgiveness. I want to pass it on to others who need that. Thank you that now I can sing the song of the pardoned prisoner. And I can teach it to others. In Jesus' name, amen.